All right, Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. And the thought here tonight is in the area of preparation for a new year. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. And again, the thought is preparation for a new year. And Romans 12 says this, rejoicing. Well, let me get my verse here myself. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, one of the things as we look forward to a new year, to 2006, one of the things that I think we need to be encouraged in is rejoicing in our hope throughout the course of this year. As always, we should be living our lives with the rapture in view. But we are to be exhorted to rejoice in our hope. Now, believers, if you notice Romans 12:12, Paul is speaking to believers. And believers of the gospel are exhorted to rejoice in hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. He says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, that's what happened to us when we got saved. We were delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And we were given and introduced into an entirely new life, the life of God. A life we had been cut off from. He goes on to say here, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Believers of the gospel are those who are exhorted to rejoice in hope. Now, when we talk about that hope, look back up at in 1 Thessalonians 1 there, and look at verse 2. Make it verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. But now notice he says there, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is that patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ that we should be rejoicing in. The scripture says in one place, in your patience, possess ye your soul. And it is that hope that enables us to keep it together in the kind of a world that you and I live in. To keep it together and keep us from falling apart, coming unglued in the kind of a world that you and I live in. Our lives are fraught with all kinds of trials and all kinds of tribulation, all kinds of, you know, fraught with all kinds of troubles. Troubles that can overwhelm us. Troubles that can literally consume us. And it is that hope that enables us to possess our souls, as it were, to keep from coming unglued, to keep from falling apart. We are exhorted to rejoice in hope because of the trials and tribulations of life. It doesn't exempt us from the trials and tribulations of life. That is, our hope doesn't exempt us from the sufferings of this present time. Our hope doesn't exempt us from the bondage of corruption. But what our hope does is to minimize and to do away with the impact that tribulation has on the believer and his walk. Again, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, we're suffering. We experience the hardships of life. We're not exempt from them. But they're not worthy to be compared with what God has prepared for us. And because they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be ours, he says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, he talks about it this way. He says, "For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And then he describes the troubles of life, the trials and the tribulations of life. He describes them this way. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." When we consider what God has in store for us, that our old vile body shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body, the things that we go through now are but a light affliction. Now, you and I, when we're going through it, we don't think of it that way. But when we consider our hope, it minimizes the suffering. And when I say it minimizes the suffering, our attitude toward the suffering. You see, what our hope does, I mean, when I say it minimizes, maybe that might not be the right word. It doesn't take away the pain, but it enables us to endure it. It enables us to endure the pain, to suffer with it, to suffer through it, not to be overwhelmed by it. You see, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, having said that, again, it is the believer that is exhorted to rejoice in hope because of tribulation, and because that hope enables us, equips us to endure the trials, to endure it, not to put. You remember what it says, because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Okay, it's that kind of a thing. Hold on just one second, please. Okay, sorry for that interruption there. But now getting back to the thought, in 2 Timothy, it says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall" what? "Shall suffer persecution." Trials and tribulations are the common lot of the world believers not exempted. But God has given us something not to, you know, again, not to fear the trials and the tribulations of life, not to be overcome by them. What is it to rejoice in hope? You know, it's to delight in what God has promised us. To see it for what it really is. It's a promise of something better than what we currently have. To rejoice in hope, number one, is to take God at His word. We have this hope because of God's word to us. You see, the psalmist said it this way, "Remember the word, O Lord, unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." We hope in a better life. We hope in eternal life. We hope in the glory of God because that's God's word to us. And so to rejoice in hope is to take God at His word. You see, that's one of the things the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God. And you and I, number one, to please God we must take Him at His word. Number two, it's just like I think it's written in Jeremiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That which make God happy and that which God delights in is for the believer to take Him at His word. And when we take Him at His word, that becomes the source of our strength. That's what enables us to endure whatsoever may come our way, is God's promise to us, God's word to us. Paul calls it looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. That's what enables us to hope even unto death, because the grave is not the end for us. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You see. And our old vile body shall be fashioned like unto His glorious body. You see, to rejoice in hope is to take God at His word. Hold on 1 second again.
Can you hear me? I wanted to ask a question.
Okay, I apologize for the interruptions there. R151. If you be patient with me, I won't be long here, and we'll get to your question here in just a moment. Shouldn't be no more interruptions here. All right, thank you. So we're going to continue. So we have a hope because of God's word to us, and to rejoice in hope, again, is to take God at His word. It's the promise we have received from God, and we have this hope because of His word to us. And when I say to us, I'm talking about God's word to Paul and through Paul to us. Remember in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given me to youward." God gave something to Paul to be given to us. And in that word that God gave to Paul is a promise, is a hope that God has given us as members of the body of Christ. That hope is peculiar to you and I as members of the body of Christ. I'm not going to try to elaborate on that. I know for the most part, most of you here in the room know what I mean when I say that. Our hope is not Israel's hope, and Israel's hope is not our hope. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ is the key to Israel's hope. The Lord Jesus Christ is the key to our hope. But is our hope, the hope of Israel and the hope of the body of Christ are different because of the twofold purpose of God, prophecy and the mystery. prophecy concerning the earth, the mystery concerning the heavens. Our destiny is in the heavenly places. Israel's destiny is in the earth. And they will be the agency through which God will reclaim the governmental authority of the earth back unto himself under the headship of Christ. And the church, which is the body of Christ, will be the agency through which God would do that in the heavenly places under the headship of Christ. The church being the agency, the church which is the body of Christ will be the agency by which that is accomplished. Okay? And God has given us that hope. And we rejoice in that. I mean, we rejoice in a particular hope, a specific hope. Now, to rejoice in hope is to set our affection, therefore, on things above and not on things on the earth, minding our hope. Focus our thought and our attention on that which God has given to us, not looking, not coveting that which God has promised another, and in this case, the nation of Israel, but setting our affections and setting our attention on that which God has promised us. Okay? And one of the reasons we don't set our affections on the things of this world is because our hope is not here. Again, looking for that blessed hope. You know, Israel, the kingdom saints, they're looking for the kingdom of God to come to them. But we're not looking for the kingdom to come. We're looking for the church to depart. Again, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. You see, we're going to be caught up. That's where we get the term rapture from. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so we're not to be overtaken with the things of the world, to have our affection so attached to the things down here that the hope of what we have, it would be irrelevant to us, won't have any practical meaning for us. To be just taken with the cares of this life, to be entangled with the affairs of this life. Okay. And thirdly, let me say this, to rejoice in hope is to live with that rapture in view. Confess that. Confessing our hope. Can I tell you, unless you embrace that hope, life is going to be miserable for you as a believer, as a Christian. Because it is that hope. And, you know, I understand people can cling to all kinds of other reasons to give them cause for living and doing things. But unless you believe, and let me say it this way, unless you believe life in the world is the same as life in Christ, unless you believe that, there ought to be a substantial change in the life you are living because of the hope that God has given us. If you've been renewed in the spirit of your mind, there ought to be a change in your life from life in the world to the life in Christ. You see, this year, what you and I need to do as believers is to confess our hope. And we do this by gathering together with the saints when and where they are wont to gather together.